have a contact with God. And God sent the Holy Spirit to fill believers to continue his work. And the book of Acts starts out, the former account of, I give an old Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. What Jesus began to do and teach in his ministry, God intended that ministry to continue on and to go on, and it did all through the book of Acts. And you say, well, it stopped with the book of Acts. No, the book of Acts never stopped. God said he'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, not just the 12, not just certain few, not just certain ones, but God said he would continue his work, and God wants to continue that work. And that's the reason Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And so we know that our world is full of people that are hurting. They're full of sick people and full of, whether we like it or not, there are demonic oppressed people. And yes, there are demon possessed people in our day and age. And people don't want to talk about that and too much. And I can tell you from experience, it's something you really don't want to experience. But if God puts you there where you experience being in contact with a demon-possessed person, you better be full of the Spirit and you better be able to pray. And so this doesn't happen often that we see. But our world is full of people that are hindered or involved in other things. And they just haven't had a contact with God, but they need one, an encounter with God. And in the church today, we don't need miracles to brag about. Say, well, our church had this miracle and that church had that miracle. But miracles are for the purpose of glorifying the Lord. Amen. It's not so I can brag about a ministry that somebody has. It's not because I can lift up a name of some great preacher or some great evangelist. A miracle is to bring glory and honor to our Lord. It's to show the world that Jesus is alive and true and well and real. Jesus did his miracles, and it showed the people of his day that he was not just another speaker of that time, not just a religious leader with a good set of moral values, but it showed that he is the living Son of God, powerful and mighty. Hallelujah. And so wherever Jesus went, people had an encounter with the living God, because Jesus was not just a prophet. Amen. He was a prophet, priest, and king, but he was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Praise the Lord. And so we see here in his ministry, Jesus comes across this man who is demon-possessed. And this man needed a spiritual encounter. And he'd have one. And so our first five verses there, we find the description of a man that is demon-possessed. It wasn't a good description, but it was probably a true description of somebody that was controlled by an unclean spirit. And when Jesus and his disciples got out of the boat, there immediately met him a man who had an unclean spirit. That means it didn't mean he hadn't taken a bath lately. It means that he was controlled by a demonic force, a spirit. And he was not just bothered with evil, but he was possessed with evil. In the sense that he was controlled by evil constantly and continually. And people ask you, where do demon spirits come from? Demon spirits are in some way connected with the angels that fell with Lucifer when they rebelled against God. There's many ways that you can explain things about demonic forces. If you're an expert on it, just come up here and tell me all about demons. No, I don't think we came to learn about demons today. We came literally to learn how God can deliver us from those. Thank God for that. Many believe they are departed spirits of some other race. Man. But wherever, and whether they're fallen angels or the product of Genesis 6, where men, for the sons of God and the daughters of men, produced a giant race. That's another subject altogether, another study altogether. But we do know they exist. Evil does exist. And Jesus said in Luke 10:18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And Jesus had just given them power to work miracles in his name, to raise the dead even, to do signs and wonders in his name. Man. And they returned to Jesus with great joy, and they said, Lord, even demon spirits are subject unto us. And Jesus said, don't be excited because demon spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And so demonic spirits, they are supernatural beings. They have power beyond human beings. And so they are powerful beings, but they are completely evil. And verse 4 tells us some of the evils that come along with that. Verse 4 says, because he, the demon-possessed man, had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. So we know here was a man that was just totally out of control. He was controlled by an evil spirit. He was possessed. He wasn't just bothered, he was possessed. A demon spirit indwelt, lived inside him, and directed his behavior. He didn't have very good behavior. He dwelt among the tombs. Nobody could bind him, even with shackles, even with chains, because they had supernatural power and the chains were just pulled apart by him. So we know we're dealing with a demonic force that's more powerful than human force. Man. And so no one could tame him. And they caused him to behave abnormally. And nobody could, you can't tame a demon, in case you're wondering. They're completely evil. They endeavor to possess people and to lead them to destruction. Because you see, the devil's work is to destroy humanity, who is created in the likeness and image of God. The greatest day in the devil's life or a demon's life is to cause one of God's creation, mankind, to act like the devil. And so, evil spirits, demonic forces, they lead people to sinful addictions. They cause people to behave abnormally, unnaturally. In Scripture, in Matthew chapter 17, there was a demon-possessed kid there, a young boy. And oftentimes, the demon had caused him to fall into the fire and into water, attempting to destroy him. And we know when Jesus prayed for him or laid his hands on him, he set him free. And he was completely normal. And so demonic spirits are completely evil. And today demon spirits are working promoting Satan's kingdom of darkness today. You say, well, how can you identify this? Let me tell you something. There are many abnormal and unnatural things that are going on in our world, like human trafficking. And like demonic spirits behind terrorism. And there's a spirit of murder out there that just want to kill people because they're either of a certain race of people or because they belong to a certain nation. And so it is a work of evil that's at work today. And there's crime. And there's behavior absent of compassion or natural affection in any way. I'm amazed. It reports that I hear over the news how that two human beings can mistreat or treat one another that way. Or one human being can treat another one so awfully and so horribly. And for people that can get excitement, get fun out of torturing and hearing people scream and beg for mercy. That is not natural. That's a work of demonic force, a demonic evil. And it's at work in our world today. But I'm glad that we don't have to run around in fear. We don't have to wonder around what demon is going to jump out next. It doesn't work that way, my friend. If you're covered by the blood of Jesus, the demon force of darkness cannot get through the blood. The blood says, this one belongs to me, belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. The God is in control of this person. Hallelujah. And so, church, as much as we may not want to believe it, but we're going to deal with this in our age. We already are. But you and I must, as believers, must stay up, stay prayed up, filled up with God's Spirit. We must believe that evil is at work, but we must believe that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. And so Ephesians 5:18, the apostle writes to the church at Ephesus, and I believe to our church today, and he says, do not be drunken with wine in which is excess, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Amen. People are drunken on everything. People are drunken on activities of every kind, drunken on TV, drunken on internet, drunken on whatever behavior you want to name that's sinful. But I tell you, it's time for the church to turn around and be filled with God's Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, not to be controlled by some evil force. Hallelujah. And so, there would be a spiritual encounter that took place here, obviously. Whatever the devil had to offer, Jesus was master over it. You know, God is never intimidated by anything that we are intimidated by. God is not intimidated by evil forces. He's not intimidated by any politician or any government. I'm glad he's not. He's never intimidated by anybody's personality, anybody's persuasiveness. God is never intimidated at all. Amen. It can't happen because God is God. He can speak. Do you know that God created this world by the word of his mouth? God could speak and there wouldn't be a world ever anymore if he decided to do that. He's not going to. He's promised in his word. But we must learn to be a people who live by faith. Not just to say I believe, but to believe, have our faith rooted in the word of God and in Christ. And we must believe that God, have faith that God is greater, that he cares for his children, that he loves you personally, is concerned about you. You say, well, if that is the true, why do bad things happen to good people? Let me tell you something. The only good thing in anybody in this place and in the world is Christ in us. Amen. Yes, bad things happen to believers and people of God, and I don't understand everything, but God allows things to happen in our life, allows us to walk through things in our life. Sometimes it builds our faith. Sometimes the deliverance from that is a testimony to other people. God has his ways. Who am I and who are you to question God? Amen. And God, many testimonies are born out of test. That's what makes it a testimony. And so what God does is God's business, but I don't believe that God plays games with us saying, well, I'm just looking for the next trial to put on this person. I don't believe God does that. He didn't play games with us. However, he empowers us to walk through whatever we have to walk through. And so we must believe and have faith in God that God is greater, that he cares for his children. The book of 1 John, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. For in John's day, there were many people who just did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, or that he was God in the flesh, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. But he was. And so, John said, that's the way you can know a person that's really in right with God, if they believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he lived a sinless life. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Islam believes in Jesus Christ. They believe he maybe was a great teacher of some sort, but they did not believe he was the Son of God, because in Islam thinking, God cannot have a son. But I want to tell you, the God that I serve has a son. Jesus is not something that somebody else made up. He's not the promoter of some other religion or some other belief. He is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Praise the Lord. He's the Son of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And the verse that we like, 1 John 4:4, we always love this verse. But you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so, an encounter with God is wonderful, but we had an encounter with evil here that Jesus talks about. And then we move to a different spiritual encounter, verses 6 through 10 of our reading there. Because you see, there's a difference here in this spiritual encounter. And it comes to verse 6 here, it says, but when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Now we see here this man whom was demon-possessed. He had had all the demon possess he wanted. He was looking for a way out. He could not behave naturally. He was away from friends and family. He didn't have any contact with anybody. Everybody was afraid of him. And people had tried to bind him and tried to throw him in jail, but they couldn't. He'd just break out. And they're trying to do all these things, but when he saw Jesus, he saw something greater than himself. And he saw the Son of God headed toward him. He didn't know who Jesus was, but he said, surely there's some way this man can help me. He saw, when he saw Christ, he saw real love. He saw somebody that cared. He didn't see a torturing demon spirit. He didn't see one in control of evil. He saw one who is mighty and powerful and gracious and glorious. He saw the Son of God. He saw someone greater. He saw hope, that there had been hope given unto him. He saw compassion. He saw relief. He saw deliverance. He saw God. He saw there was a reason to live when he saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus and he worshiped him. And I believe when he took the first step toward Jesus, immediately it began to dawn on him that, hey, this is not just a person, another person. This is somebody greater than who is controlling me. And so the demon spirit in this man recognized authority immediately. And I'm sure that the demonic spirit was scared. Yet he had supernatural power, the demon did, but he didn't have the power like the Son of God did. And someone greater had arrived on the scene. Someone with authority to send him into the abyss, into the place where fallen angels were kept. Some of them were kept until the day of judgment. Jude verse 6, it says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." And they recognized that Jesus had the authority to send them into the abyss, into the same place the other fallen angels were until the great day of judgment. And so they recognized authority here. Verse 7, "And when he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, you do not torment me. For he had said, Come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, What is your name? And he answered and saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. The man was possessed by multiple demonic spirits." And somebody's tried to make a number out of this word legion, and the, according to the Roman soldiers, was over 1,000, I believe, something of that order. If you're demon possessed, I don't think it matters if it's 1,000 or 2 or 1. Controlled by evil. But this is who people need to see today. They need to see Jesus. We need to learn to run to him with our every care and our every problem. You say, does God get tired of us coming and whining all the time? God would have quit forever if he'd have got tired of that. No, we shouldn't whine. And we shouldn't complain how bad we got it. When God has blessed us, we should look and be thankful for what God has done for us. Amen. My parents didn't put up with whining. They'd beat the whine out of you. And it was cured. Okay. But we need to see Christ, not how big or entertaining we as a church are, but how that our God is still the same. And we people still need a personal encounter with God. And I've never gotten past it. I still want to be filled with God's Spirit. I still want to be refilled with God's Spirit. I still want to walk with God. I still want to know His presence is there with me each day. Hallelujah. I don't ever want to be, you don't ever want to be without God, without God to run to, without Christ to go to. Amen. We must have Him. We need Him. And He's never afar off. I'm glad that He's a present Savior. Hallelujah. People need a personal encounter with God. The first reaction of this man that was demon possessed, he ran, he worshiped, he fell down. He had been controlled by evil too long. He had been miserable too long. He had been crying and cutting himself with stones too long, doing unnatural things. He had been unaccepted by society too long. No one had wanted to be around him because they were afraid of him. But now when he came to Jesus, acceptance would come from the Son of God. Jesus ordered the demon spirit to flee, to be gone, and it had no choice to be gone. And this man may have been an outcast of society, but he was accepted in God's family. In Ephesians 1:6, it says, "We are accepted in the Beloved." And we must believe that God can bring about change, not some political change that we're thinking about. He can do that. He will one day. But God can change people from sickness to health. I still believe that. I know He can. I believe God can still change people from overwhelming fear to faith. And give them peace instead of fear. Jesus continually changed people, brought people from unbelief to faith. Man, I mentioned this a while ago. I'll mention it again. Preachers have a habit of mentioning something more than once. And you can lean back and say, yeah, I got it the first time. Okay. But in college, I read books of Smith Wigglesworth. His healing ministry was amazed at what God did through his ministry. And as I read through this, I realized that there's not very many people that God can trust that kind of authority with. But he did. Smith Wigglesworth was a man that lived for God. He lived for nothing but God. And God did powerful works to him. Was he a great man? Well, yes, he was a great man, but he was just a human being like you and I. And God used him, and God empowered him by the Spirit to do wonderful things. And he would never take credit for any of it himself. He would give glory to God for it. But I read his books, and this wonderful thing happened, and all this great things happened. People were being healed, and sick were being healed, and legs were being made straight, and legs were being lengthened, even if you didn't measure them to see if they were short or not. That's went on. But it wasn't with him. God helped people to be every disease you can imagine, to be freed from. Man. Hope you don't mind me being a little personal here. But then it happened to me. No, I didn't go around and do signs and wonders and miracles, and I wasn't empowered by God, but I can tell you I received an act of divine healing and deliverance that had to be God. Amen. Some of you are here. A few of you were here when it happened. Amen. Nobody was in here when it happened. I was. A couple of you. But where I'm standing, I fell out of the top of a ladder or scissor lift that collapsed with me, and I came down and hit my head on the floor, fell flat on my elbow and head, broke my elbow in 11 places, and had a frontal lobe brain damage, traumatic brain injury is what you call it. People prayed, and I still have people calling up, coming up to me and say, we prayed for you. That's been 14 years ago. But God personally visited me when I was in the hospital. I can never forget it. And so I want to tell you today, just to tell you that God is still real. This is no way boastful whatsoever. I had nothing to do with it. God did it all. Amen. I would be disabled for a while. I would be in a coma for 11 days. I would not be able to speak or do anything. And I was told, my wife was told, he might possibly be in the rest home the rest of his life if he survives. Told by the doctors I probably wouldn't survive through the night. It was said that I lost vital signs twice on the air flight from here to the hospital. Does God still do miracles today? Yes, still does. I was in the hospital. While I was in the hospital, a man of God came, moved by the Holy Spirit. He's preached here. He came and he walked right into the hospital. They were letting nobody in to see me. They wouldn't even let Norma in. They wouldn't let anybody in, only nurses and doctors, and that's it. Dr. Jones, Dole Jones, he's preached here. He walked in. He said, I need to pray for that man. He said, the nurse said, you can't go in there. Nobody can go in there. And he said, I won't touch him. I just want to pray. And she allowed him to go in. He walked past everything and just prayed. And God gave him a word. And that word was out of Psalms 118, I believe. When that word was, he shall live and not die and declare the glory of God. And I'm telling you of a personal experience, because some of you hadn't heard it, and I won't tell it every service. But it happened to me. God still works. God still does miracles. God still has powerful today. And I woke up after a while, and I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. I learned how to walk again. I learned how to talk again. I learned how to do this, that. It's like I was a little kid learning all over again. But I can tell you something, that God is powerful. God is mighty. God still responds. God still answers prayer. He's still on the throne of glory. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not because I was some special person. There's nothing special about me. I'll tell you that myself. I'll tell you something. It's just that God did a miracle there and for His own purposes and His own will. And I give Him glory for it. He showed me over and again that He was the present Jesus. First sermon I preached when I got back here was the present Jesus, because God showed me He was never absent, but He's always present. My friend, He's not absent from you today. He's always present. He's here today. He's here now. He can still do powerful things for you in your life. Some of you need a miracle. I can tell you, He's still in the miracle working business. He still cares for you. Regardless what race, what tribe you might come from, God still cares. He still knows. He still loves unconditionally and equally. Praise God. So I had a spiritual encounter. And here in the story that we read, a society itself would encounter the supernatural. And the demonic spirit inside this man begged Jesus that He wouldn't send him away, no doubt to the abyss. It said there was a large herd of swine, pigs, in that area, and there were people that were tending to them. They may have been tame hogs, but they weren't fixing to be. And they asked permission to Jesus, can we go in that herd of swine? And Jesus gave the demonic spirits the permission to go into the swine. And we see that not only were the demon-possessed man wanted freedom, but the swine, they couldn't stand the demons either. They said rather than do that, they would run off into the sea. And there were, what does it say, 1,000 of them, 2,000 of them? A bunch of them. And they ran into the sea, about 2,000. The herd ran violent down a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And society would see a supernatural encounter as they saw what God had done and what God was doing. He was a changed man. This man that was demon-possessed, always crying, cutting himself with stones, always doing unnatural things. Now, they see him differently. The people in the town, they came out to see what had happened to him. Verse 15, they came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed and had the legion. They saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. That's what God can do. Clothed and in his right mind. Never again would he have to run through the tombs and cry and cut himself with stones and be possessed and controlled by evil spirits that wanted to torture him and make life miserable for him. Now he knew the King of Glory, King of Kings. He was sitting and clothed in his right mind. And Jesus, he wanted to go with Jesus. When Jesus got into the boat to leave, he said, Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. He said, you go and tell your friends and your family what great things God has done for you. I want to tell you, he became from demon possession, he became a missionary immediately. He began to tell his friend and family in Decapolis, which means 10 cities. He began to proclaim the word of God, what God had done for him everywhere. Let me tell you something, friend. Testimonies are to tell people what God has done for you. They're not to complain about how hard you've had it. A testimony is saying that God delivered me from this, and God set me free of this, and God deserves the glory for it, and that's why I'm testifying. Praise the Lord. And so we find him clothed in his right mind. And Jesus made a missionary out of him. Praise the Lord. Did he have the training? Probably not like the Assemblies of God do in the Church of God and whatever else training there is out there. I'm not against that. I'm for that. I'm glad for that. But here, Jesus trained him himself. He said, just go and tell what people did for you. Amen. Do we still believe that God is present today? Yes, I do believe He's present right now, still here. He can change me from fear to faith. Yes, He can. Hallelujah.